And hello, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Jose, and I'm grateful to be here with you guys today. Before we do get started, if you guys are listening, this is on Wednesday, but I wanted to wish everyone who lives in the States, you know, have a happy Thanksgiving. For those who do listen to me across the world, I do hope you are all doing well. I hope everyone is doing well. But again, like I said, happy Thanksgiving to all those that live in the States. I hope you all enjoy time with your families, your loved ones. You eat a lot of good food, and remember, the most important thing about what you should be thankful for, those people around you, you know, things or specific things that are deep meaning to you, like your hobbies or something that's very important to you. So remember to take that time and do remember, you know, this is the time to be thankful for things and, you know, the food's good and all that stuff. But you also have to remember that you have to take time to be thankful for the things you do have because, you know, these past 2 years have been a little rough for the world, you know, but I do believe that, you know, we will keep trucking on and we will keep moving forward after this. But moving after that, as you guys know, we have to do our normal announcements like we normally do. If you guys are not following us on our social medias, you should be also following us on Facebook and Twitter. If you look on Wild About Animals on both of those, you can find us there. It's a great way to stay connected with the community, be a part of the Wild family, anything that's new announcements, any new shows coming out, anything. If you just want to sit there and we all just chit-chat and talk about, you know, cute animals, we can all do that. And those are the places to do that. So like I said, go to both those places on Facebook and Twitter and follow us. And it's to be connected. And like I said, it's to be a part of the Wild family and come join us. It's a great, you know, I sometimes post some funny stuff on there, and it'd be great if, you know, we all could just sit there and just chit-chat and laugh about it. Also, if you guys go to both those social medias, like stated before, you can actually go and see there's a link where you can actually send me questions, and I can answer your questions live while the show's going on. And it's a great way, you know, for you to ask whatever it is you want to ask me. But just make sure if you're going to send it, just make sure you send it before I do the show on Wednesday. That way it can be added. If not, it won't be put on there until the next show. If you guys have any birthday shout outs you want me to do, that's also a part of that deal as well. Just make sure you send me a message saying who you want me to shout out, what for, and if there's anything in particular you want to say. And I do appreciate all of you guys for taking the time to come listen to me. It means a lot to me. And we do have a lot of new family members come in from all over the world. So, you know, we just want to welcome all of you guys to, you know, what it is we hear Wild About Animals are about. So, like I said before, I'm your host, Jose, and today we're going to be doing a very Thanksgiving-themed show. I didn't think this was going to come to this, but we are actually going to be talking about turkeys today. Not the turkey, well, yes, the turkey that, you know, you sit there on your table for Thanksgiving and eat. But we're actually going to talk about wild turkeys, and actually, these guys are actually very interesting animals when you actually dive behind the whole, the way we normally see turkeys. So this would be a great way to learn a lot of things about them. And we also do have a special question that we do have to answer at the end of the show that was sent by a viewer. We'll play that when we get towards the end of the show, and then I'll answer their question live when you guys can hear me attempt to answer that. So I hope you guys are ready. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll get started with the show. Hey guys, this is Jose from Wild About Animals. I just wanted to throw this in and be like, if you guys have any requests for any future podcasts, make sure you leave them on Facebook, and then I'll make sure I put them on a list, and I'll let you guys know over there. Back to the show we go. Alright guys, and welcome back from the break. I hope you guys are ready to dive into about turkeys, because I sure am going to start spilling that information with you guys, so let's get started. So, the most common thing that people probably think about when they think about turkey is you probably think about the noises that they make, the way that they look, probably the way that they taste, because, you know, turkey is a very popular meat in livestock, I guess you could say. But there's actually more into it when you go into the wild aspect of turkeys, because believe it or not, turkeys just didn't pop out of the ground and they were automatically domesticated by humans. It took years and years of domestication for us to domesticate turkeys. But turkeys are wild. They come from wild ancestors, and they have a lot of different information and cool things that they do that you guys may not know for, you know, because I feel like when it comes to domesticated animals, we tend to forget that domesticated animals come from wild ancestors. And when it comes to that, it's like, you know, we're used to seeing them, that we just always forget that notion. So and I think I stated it in like the wolves video, probably the wolf video, probably, that, you know, if it wasn't for these wild ancestors, we wouldn't have our domesticated animals that we do today. Turkeys are the same thing. So let's get ready to dive into, I guess, the information about those. So I'm pretty sure you guys have heard a turkey when you probably have heard one before you've seen it. You probably heard the gobble noise that they make. But in fact, turkeys make all different types of sounds. They can cluck, they can purr, they can even yelp if they wanted to. And a male's gobble can be heard about a mile away. And if you guys are curious to know what that sounds like, you can go online and listen to the different sound effects that these guys made. I, for one, thought that turkeys just simply gobbled, but apparently they can make all multitudes of sound, which is very interesting when you think about it. And a cool thing is if you ever are out and about and you do see some turkey droppings, it can actually tell you the sex and the age of the turkey that you're looking at. For males, their droppings are usually shaped in the J shape, while females are spiral shaped. And the larger it is, the older the bird is. So that was actually interesting that you can actually tell the sex and the age of a turkey just by looking at its droppings. Now, I'm pretty sure you guys probably wouldn't take the time to do this, but, you know, there are some people out there who may. If you actually sat down and counted the amount of feathers that a turkey, an adult turkey, has on its body, it's between about 5,000 to 6,000 feathers. Now, that was just something cool and interesting, I thought, because someone actually took the time to count every individual feather on a turkey. But, you know, that to me, that's pretty interesting that someone took the time, because, you know, you never would have known. Now, surprisingly enough, because some people would probably think by looking at a turkey, you would think it wasn't smart, it wasn't fast, it was, I guess, to put it like, you know, how people perceive dodos. The extinct bird is that, you know, turkeys are just slow, dumb animals. Well, surprisingly, turkeys are actually pretty fast, and they can actually fly. That's another thing. Wild turkeys can, domestic turkeys cannot fly, but wild turkeys can fly. Turkeys can usually clock about 18 miles when they're on the ground, and then like 18 miles per hour on foot, and then that's up to probably, if I had to say in flight, that maybe they could usually do about 50 miles per hour in flight. But they can't go long distances, probably because of their body size, because the way flying works in the bird world is birds are built to be light, and they have light bones, which helps them fly. But the heavier they are, the shorter distance that they can fly. So that would probably explain why turkeys can't fly long miles with only like short bursts of flight. But like I said before, you know, wild turkeys can fly, but your normal domesticated turkeys, those cannot fly. Now, like a lot of animals, males and female turkeys, young turkeys, have different names for what you call them. You would call a male turkey a gobbler or a tom. Females are called hens, while young chicks are called plouts. And then juvenile males are called jakes, while juvenile females are called jennies. And then if you see a flock of turkeys, they have a bunch of different names. You can call them crop, gang, posse, but usually you just call them a flock. Now, I'm pretty sure you have seen a video of like a male turkey or a tom turkey strutting his stuff, where he'll like sprout his feathers out and he'll like, you know, do a movement or something. Like it almost looks like, I guess to us, it's like he's shaking his butt, honestly. But that is his way of trying to woo a female or otherwise ward off rivals. I guess you could say it's a courtship dance, because there's in the bird world and in the animal kingdom as a whole, you know, this is actually a very common practice for animals to try to impress a mate by having flashy colors, flashy body movements to kind of show the females that, hey, I'm a strong male. I can provide for you, and, you know, our offspring will be strong, and, you know, and then it also ward off rivals, like, saying, like, hey, you don't want to fight me, or anything like that, because, you know, I'm bigger than you and stronger than you. But surprisingly enough, females actually do this strutting behavior, too, but I'm pretty sure they probably do it in a more defensive mechanism to keep predators away from chicks. Now, the English name turkey derives from pretty much the shipping routes that people had to pass through when they went through the actual country, Turkey. So, yes, the actual bird, turkey, is named after the country, Turkey. So, I mean, I kind of had an idea about that, or, you know, that would be called that. But I didn't think that, you know, that was actually, you know, I just thought either one was named after the, but it seems that the bird was named after the country first. So there you go. And now you all know. So the bald head spot that's on top of the turkey can actually change color with excitement or different emotions. Some of the colors they've seen, it could be red, it can go white, it can go blue. Now, I tried to dive and see if I could find out what each color means, but there was really nothing I could find. So, but if someone does find, please do send me. So I would love to know what all these colors mean. But that's, I thought that was really cool that the turkey can actually change its color, you know, by emoting different emotions. So that was actually rather cool. Now, the turkey is a omnivore, which means it eats both meats and plants. It eats mostly plant material, but they have been known to eat insects, snails, sometimes frogs, lizards, snakes, you know. I'm pretty sure, you know, if the extra protein would be good for them, but most of the time these guys usually eat plant matter. And then, funny enough, they actually have 3 times better vision than you and I do. They can see in color, and their eyesight typically covers about a 270-degree angle. Now, this is probably going to be a little bit surprising for everyone, especially with what I'm about to say. As you all know, our national bird of America, for those who don't live in America or the States, it's the bald eagle. It's a symbol of freedom and power and all this other stuff. But there was a time where the turkey was actually suggested to be the true, you know, bird of America. And when I saw this, I was like, wow, that's a little interesting, because you wouldn't think they would think of a turkey as like a bird of courage or anything. But I believe, if I'm reading my little notes that I wrote correctly, it said that Benjamin Franklin, you know, he didn't advocate for it to be the national bird, but he preferred them over the bald eagle because he said bald eagles would steal from other birds, and the turkey is a much more respectable bird, a true original native of America, you know. And I mean, I guess I can understand where he would get that notion from. However, I think the right choice was with the bald eagle. I don't really think, you know, a lot of places would take it serious if you said, you know, a turkey, but I mean, it's whatever you choose or whatever you, you know, different strokes for different folks, I guess, you know. But anyway, so like I said, but that was pretty much most of the majority of the information that we have on turkeys. This is going to be kind of a shorter episode this week because, you know, with the holidays, you know, people are cooking, trying to get ready. So, you know, I don't want to hold up too much of you guys' time. However, like I stated before, we do have a question that was sent in from a viewer, and we're going to play that question, and then when it's done, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to answer it to the best of my ability. So I hope you guys are ready, and remember, you guys can also send questions in, too. The more, the merrier. So let's listen to what...
What is the deadliest animal to humans throughout history so far?
Okay, and first and foremost, thank you, Mr. John Cena, for sending in your question. It was actually an interesting question when you think about it, and I am going to answer that right now, live for you guys, as we're speaking. So, if you're wondering what the most dangerous animals to humans throughout history, I have 2 answers. One is more of an acceptable answer, I feel. And the other one is going to be a little bit controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. So, I would have to say, well, the first one will use the accepted answer. If you were to ask me what something that was the most dangerous animals to humans throughout history, I would argue that it would probably be the mosquito, and I'm going to explain why. I would feel that the mosquito was a pretty dangerous animal because, number one, mosquitoes are notorious for transmitting multitude of diseases to millions and millions of humans, and the diseases that they carry have killed millions and millions of people. In fact, I'm actually about to throw some numbers at you now. We'll list some of these diseases: malaria, yellow fever, West Nile virus, just to name a few. And all of the diseases that mosquitoes can carry have been estimated to kill 700 or have killed 700 million humans. And that's a lot of people when you think about it. All estimated, this is just estimated now, 700 million people. And then if you were to add, and then I just looked it up right now, there's about 7.7 billion people in this world. So 700 million have, throughout history, that were the records that they do track. 700 million have died from being bit by a mosquito. Now, I'm pretty sure that wasn't the answer everybody was expecting me to say. Everyone was expecting something a little bit cooler, like lions or bears and stuff. We'll see, like I stated, you know, in all past videos before, you know, all of these big animals, you know, they kill people, but it's not as common as a mosquito does, because mosquitoes have actually been evolved to be attracted to the carbon dioxide that we breathe out of our mouth. That's how they find us, is if they're attracted to the carbon dioxide. And if you all know this, it's the female mosquito is the one that bites and sucks the blood. She sucks the blood because she's trying to supply nutrients to her eggs. So when you get bit by a mosquito, it's a female mosquito that's biting you. And the fact that mosquitoes are in huge numbers, they breed super quick, you know, it makes it kind of easy for them to get access to humans, especially if you were talking about mosquitoes in, like, countries that don't have the advanced medical technology or the best way to handle mosquitoes, then they can just breed like wildfire and spread diseases like crazy. So that John Cena is probably going to be the accepted answer. Now, the answer that I personally feel, because I just gave you an accepted answer, what, you know, what I feel most people would think. If you ask me what's the most dangerous animal to humans throughout the entire history, I would say humans. I think we are probably the most dangerous animal on this planet. We still are now. I feel when... this is where it's going to get controversial. But I'm going to, I guess, give my thoughts of why I just said that. Throughout history, humans have pretty, you know, there's humans kill other humans. It's been said. Now, humans don't kill as many people as mosquitoes have, that's for sure. But I think the destruction that we've done is killing us more than the mosquitoes could do. I'll give an example. The destructions of the rainforest, the destruction of coral reefs, the killing of endangered and extinct animals, you know, moving in, building cities and towns over forests and grasslands and killing all natural resources or getting rid of all natural resources. The rainforest one is a pretty easy one to fix out because a lot of majority of the oxygen that we breathe now comes from the rainforest. So I don't know about you, but I breathe oxygen. I don't know if you breathe oxygen, but I do breathe oxygen. And again, like I said before, like I said, a lot of the oxygen you breathe comes from the rainforest. It comes from other plants as well, but a good chunk of the oxygen in the planet comes from the rainforest. Now, deforestation is also bad because a lot of plants and animals depend on that. Not only that, you know, there's a lot of animals that we depend on for food who only live in the wilderness. So cutting that down is going to deplete that supply. And then there's also, again, a lot of animals who control a certain, you know, certain animal species. They keep them in check. That keeps that food chain going strong, because if one chain is missing, then something can overpopulate the area and destroy crops and all this other stuff if there's not something that can keep that animal or plant in check. The coral reef is a very big one because, you know, the So many animals depend on that. And then again, we can use corals to study for medical research and things that could help us prolong and keep, you know, define new types of medicine for us. And humans destroy those as well. You know, there's so many things I could also say. And then again, like I said, humans kill other humans. It's just a thing. It's been like that since the beginning, whenever humans, I guess if you really want me to be technical, when the modern human evolved, really, or even if you really want to count, you know, prehistoric humans to Homo sapiens. That would probably be my answer to your question, because at the end of the day, humans do count as animals too. I just think we have just forgotten that. You know, and I feel that's kind of our downfall, is because we fail to forget that, you know, we count as animals too. And we have 7 billion people live on this planet. And we tend to forget that, you know, this planet isn't ours. We weren't the first ones here. We have to share this planet with all these other beautiful organisms. And I feel all the stuff that we're doing to the planet is just going to kill us even faster. Because all these buildings spewing out fumes is just putting terrible things into the oxygen, and we're all breathing that stuff in. Like, I want you to sit there and think about all the things that they tell you all the time about, you know, people cutting down rainforest and coral reefs are dying and deforestation, and one country's trying to use a nuclear bomb. These things have magnitude effects on the planet. It's just, we don't take the time to think about the consequences before it's too late. And that is why I think that humans are the most dangerous animals in the world to humans. Because we are destroying our own planet. And because of that, it's destroying us at the same time. So, John Cena, I hope that does answer your question. Like I said before, you guys, if you guys want me to answer your questions, go to the social medias and the links, and you can send there and send me your questions, and I'll answer them live to the best of my abilities. I hope you guys have a great holiday. Be on the lookout for the next couple of shows in December. Also, hopefully we can reach the goal, but my own personal goal was I wanted to at least get to 500 unique listeners before the year ends. That would be a great goal. So like I said, if you guys can help me reach that, that would be great. If not, then the fact that we've made it to over 400 is even a milestone in itself. Be on the lookout for any news. We do have some big news coming up. We will be spreading out to more platforms soon. So I can't wait for you guys to know that there's more places to access where you get to hear me. So like I said, have a great holiday. Have a great day. And I hope you all have, I guess, probably better days or good days coming your way. So remember to stay wild, and I'll see you guys next week.